Hello, everybody, to one of the best podcasts of this year, in my humble opinion. I'm your wonderful, humble host, David, and today I'm joined by Jason Papernoff. Good afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, David.
Hi. I'm doing wonderful. How are you? How has your day been so far?
I've done nothing, so I'd say
nice. Nice. I see you have a lovely glass. Before we get into it, I'd like to ask, what are you drinking today?
Oh, well, I am drinking some Thornbury Village cider from a glass action I got from New Year's. It's apparently the best cider glass out there.
That is an awesome glass.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe it because I don't post any video, but it's
kind of like a cognac glass with a thicker bottom, which actually holds liquid, I suppose.
There you go.
It's like something Italian, like Mario or Bartolini.
Mario or Luigi.
Bartolini or something like that. It's, apparently, it's the highest end, the best cider glass you can get. But
nice.
I got two of them. If you want to share one.
Oh, okay.
If you want to come over and share.
Hell yeah.
Too, you know?
I got one of those for my dad for the beer. So that's why I thought that's what that was, because it has the same... the same top, but the bottom is more of like a wine stem.
Yeah. I don't know. My dad has a whole collection of other glasses. I got a whiskey glass as well, but I'm not going to drink whiskey at 4:30.
You know what they say, right? The best time to drink whiskey? No, the best time to drink whiskey is when you want to drink it.
Yeah. Yes, of course. But I do not want to drink any whiskey. So, again, day drinking.
Fair enough.
I would never day drink, of course. You know, never in my life would I day drink.
Of course. No, of course. So let's get right into it, if we may.
Go ahead.
Kind of want to ask, how has your winter break been, your holiday break, as it comes to a close?
Well, similarly to today, I did almost nothing the entire time, and that is just ideal, you know? After however long it is, 3.5 months of slaving away, doing all that school shit, it's nice to not have to do that for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I bet. What's your for the listeners who may not know, what's your program, what's your major?
Well, I'm majoring in forensic science, specifically physics, though the physics hasn't really come in yet, and I'm finishing up or starting up, I suppose, the second half of my second year. And well, yeah, you know, I want to go and I want to end up in the forensics laboratory at some point, and hopefully we'll get there. It's
nice.
It's kind of a bitch getting there first off, but we'll get there eventually, hopefully.
I know we were talking about kind of your first your labs in forensics on New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
But so kind of, I don't know if you want to kind of just summarize that here for some context, because I have a question about that actually.
Yeah, sure. I mean, summarize what exactly, like what I do in crimes and stuff specifically, because I also have labs in like my other science classes, you know.
Yeah, just your kind of a day in the life of you as a forensic science student.
Well, after the crying is done over the lab reports, you know, it's most interesting one, I suppose, is since I don't do too much actual forensics yet. That's in third year. I'm just kind of doing general life science stuff right now, really.
Right.
But the actual forensics related stuff, I had a course this year called Crime Scene Science, in which my university has an off-campus sort of called quote-unquote crime scene house, where it's just like this like old, I think 70s or 80s like farmhouse, just repurposed with like plumbing and such. But in there we have our professors and our like lab coordinators set up essentially crime scenes or crime scene scenarios. It gets more advanced in further years, but this year they had like, for example, we do groups of four, for the entire semester, so I got to know those people quite well first. But they set up, you know, let's say, for example, we're doing a footprint module. So we'll have like one of the bedrooms upstairs, for example. We'll have a couple objects in there, like a few dusted prints on the floor, a shoe prints, maybe one of those orthopedic foot presser.
You have one of those, like the styrofoam?
Yeah, styrofoam ones with like a boot print in it.
Nice.
We'd make a cast of that with proper forensics materials and procedures and such.
Mm-hmm.
I usually did the fun part, which was noting every single thing on like meticulously writing out every single note while I grouped all the interesting stuff, because I just didn't want to do the interesting stuff. I was like, you know, I'll do the photo logs, I'll do the I'll take the notes, because you have to take meticulous notes, you got to take photos, like, unlock what each photo is, And it's a whole logging procedure because it has to be all that. But we had different modules. So like there was like a shoe print module where we'd have various footprint examples. We'd have how to lift them, how to make molds of them, and how to analyze them in the lab in later weeks. Mm-hmm. We had various fingerprint modules where you had fingerprints from like glass, for example, or other surfaces. What else was there? There was fingerprints. There were shoe prints. There was stains on a shirt. We actually had to wear like these protective glasses because we were using different forensic or just like light waves of light to essentially show different materials and stains and other things on a shirt.
Well,
since the light is UV light of a certain frequency, we got to wear glasses that sort of like different color glasses that kind of sort of equalize that wavelength, so we don't go blind instantly and it's to damage our eyes.
No, I have a question. Me and my little business brain didn't know that there was different frequencies of UV light. I thought that UV light was just that.
I may be confusing it. It was just different frequencies. The UV light is the most commonly used one for, I think, specifically blood is what UV light is for typically, or like the material that. Or the substance, it's called luminol. You might hear it from like crime shows and stuff. That is typically used. It's sprayed over a crime scene, and that binds the hemoglobin, which is like a part of the blood in blood. Mm-hmm. And luminol or UV light and other frequencies of light will reveal that, sort of make it luminescent glow, like a bright color. And you can photograph it, and you'd have like know where blood is in the scene and whatnot. That's been sort of washed away without proper cleaning, like bleach or some other substance that actually destroys it. Mm-hmm. So the UV light is used for that and certain other, like finding blood just on surfaces, but there's other frequencies of light, like 515, 530, 495, those kind of frequencies would find different, like, you know, saliva, bodily fluids, like urine, you know, semen, of course.
Ooh, urine?
Urine.
have you only done stuff in that farmhouse, or have you actually gone to like... basically like a real crime scene?
No. Even in fourth year, unless you're doing a capstone project or like a final project that works with some sort of forensics field or some other company that works with the university to help get that project done, you're going to be sitting in that crime scene house or in like the labs on the actual campus for the entire year. Like, actually, I volunteered at the open house for like for the forensics faculty a couple months back. Mm-hmm. And one of the other volunteers was a fourth year student, the only one doing physics in fourth year. And she was doing a project with the OPP.
Whoa.
Where she was, I think it was still in the crime scene house, because I recall seeing photos on their Insta of like her working on her project. But the OPP, I think, reached out to get a certain database on certain bloodstain patterns and analysis, which is part of physics, like analyzing how the bloodstains land, like the directional, how they land, like from how high up they might have dropped, etc.
You can deduce that just from like looking at the splatter pattern?
Yeah, the pattern can deduce, like, you know, the ones that are more obvious are the ones that splatter, so like at an angle.
Yeah.
So let's say like if it's like up against the wall, it's not called draw off.
I'm just testing you on this podcast.
Yeah,
now.
You are testing me. Yeah, but I should remember this. But cast off, that's the one.
Cast. Okay. Cast off.
So like if there's like, let's say, blood on, for example, a blade or someone's hand, and they just like whip their hand across, and the blood splatters across, or any liquid really, but blood just like sticks better because it stains better. You could determine, you know, from where that sort of angle it came from, how tall, like where like what angle it came from, where it was. And then different heights from different drops due to the inertia and gravity as a whole. It'll leave different splatter patterns on the floor from like a flat drop, from like a straight drop. So you determine from how high up something was. So she was doing a project testing something to do with bloodstain analysis. I'm not entirely sure what it was, but they had this like machine that they had, the OPP, they brought in. That I think it spun or something, or did something with like fake blood, and it would just go everywhere. And she had to analyze certain patterns with the database or something. I haven't talked to her in a while, but
that seems like a torturous assignment.
Oh, I mean, yeah, a lot of forensics is making databases, especially with these the undergrad projects.
Yeah,
I know of another fourth year student from last year who was also doing physics. He was doing a ballistics one, where I think he was actually shooting a gun. He was working with the OPP, I think, as well. Or I don't know if it was him, but like somebody else who was certified with shooting the gun, but he was analyzing ricochets off of drywall, I think. So how different. I don't know the details, but I think it wasn't to do with ricochets and like the caliber or the type of gun or even the surface or the angle, perhaps making a database. Because that's a big part of forensics. Yeah, I hear Daisy.
Daisy's going off for. Yeah. Bye, Booba. I think she heard someone. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, databases and all that in fourth year. But to my knowledge, pretty much stuck in that crime scene house or in the lab until at least fourth year, if you even leave it at that point.
Wow. So I actually have a few questions about this that I wanted to ask you about because I think it's so cool. But so your program, is it a three-year program or four?
It's a four-year program, yeah.
Four.
So there's, first a general science, second is like a life sci course, basically, because everyone I meet is either in forensics or in life sci, because we have all the same courses. And third year is mostly forensics centered with a few electives that are centered on your specialization, which is either chemistry, biology, or physics, which is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And some other electives that are required to take, like some biology stuff. And then fourth year is mostly electives, and then a couple forensics things based on your specialization, and then your thesis, project, or it's also a mock crime scene practicum where the graduate will or the student will go into the crime scene and like work on just an entire, like personally or with the group, I think they'd work on, they'd set up the scene in the crime scene house, like that same old house that I mentioned. It'd be a full scene. It could be they have all the context and everything, so just like different modules. It'd be a full scene that have to go in there and then have to analyze it and get all the information, photos, get the whole scene finished. And I think it's just essentially a full mock, a full mock crime scene. So they would just get the entire scene mapped out. They'd figure out what happened, who did what, etc. Yeah. It's a whole thing there, but
it's a whole game. It's basically just a big game of Clue.
I mean, in that context, it is Clue when that set it up for you. But I don't know.
That seems to get grossly simplifies.
Well, I mean,
everything you guys do.
To a certain extent, forensics is literally just where are the clues? It's like looking for clues. You know, the crime scene, the crime shows, or you like Dora. You know, like where is the where did the pink shoe current come from? Or find the yellow heart, or whatever else Dora does. I don't remember that show very well. Speaking in Spanish sometimes, I don't know.
Like, sometimes. Because, but so
swiper stealing evidence.
With forensics, what actually inspired you to pursue this as your post-secondary education?
Well, I've mentioned crime shows a few times, and that's most of the reason why, I think. I've always been a big fan of science, just as a whole. And my mom watched a lot of crime shows when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think when she was pregnant with my brother, actually, she watched the entirety of NCIS twice.
Oh my God.
And since I was like six, I was just there and I was watching, I was chilling.
Yeah.
Mom was home on maternity leave, like after he was born as well, or like after people wanted to be a bit of a break as well. She kept watching it, NCIS, CSI, the bad knockoff versions, or like the bad not knockoffs,
the reboots,
yeah, like reruns, other ones, CSI Miami, CSI, whatever else, the ones that were not as great, in my opinion. But actually getting down to the nitty-gritty of it and learning it properly, it's obvious that it's dramatized in those shows, but
yeah,
some of them dramatize it a bit less than others. Like they're all, it's obviously all sped up exponentially,
right?
To make not like. Because in reality, right, like a lot of the forensic stuff that happens in those crime shows that happens in like a few days occurs over weeks or even months in like the real world. Because analyzing there's a whole backlog. It takes a while to analyze things properly. All that evidence has to be sorted and then analyzed at one particular place, which is the Center of Forensic Science in Ontario.
Yeah.
So it all takes a whole long time. But yeah, I mean, it just... dramatization, but I watched those shows a lot and I was always a big kind of science, and I just thought, I scrolled through a bunch of courses and a bunch of universities and I saw, oh, forensic science, that's like the crime shows, and I like science, why not?
Yeah. That's awesome. That's pretty cool. I mean, I remember kind of going to science, like you mentioned. I don't know if you remember this, but when we were young in camps, I remember one particular, this like documentary about some faraway alien planet. I don't know if this is real, but that fascinated me so much. And I feel like we talked about it a lot, as much as we could. I totally get it. What interested you about science before?
That one's a tougher question. I just enjoy it, I guess, more than other fields of education. I know it's like one of the tougher ones out there. It's like math, and then there's science, and then I don't know, like I can't even
business.
Rate the rest. I was gonna say like business, yeah, but I don't know how to rate the rest of them, you know. But like economics, that's math. I just have a. I always had a knack for science. I always just kind of found it interesting, and honestly, I couldn't say why specifically science interested me. I just really liked it, I guess. There was no particular reason. I just had a fun time with it, like understanding how things work or specific things. I'm not a big fan of like micro science, like cells or electrons, atoms. That doesn't stick in my head. It's too small, obviously.
Yeah,
but like the big stuff, like ecology is really interesting to me and really like makes sense at least. But ecology, there's no real careers in ecology. It's just kind of track. I think doesn't. Never mind, actually. I don't think you know. Never mind. But yeah, ecology, just not many of the careers in ecology, and biology as a whole is all the micro stuff, like medicine, and not medicine, but like healthcare and such. That's mostly what biology does with science. There's probably other ones that I'm not aware of, but I'm just not interested in those like micro things. But I don't know. Yeah, just like understanding how things work, like chemistry, seeing how I don't actually like chemistry, physics, like understanding how things move, why things move, that everything like follows a specific set of rules.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do ballistics, right? So like, with how guns work, how projectiles move in a space, or how they appeared where they were. And to me, understanding like that everything has a pattern to it, everything like that moves in our universe. Moves for a certain reason and with following certain rules. That just, I just like that, I guess.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's. I'm not a fan of math, despite like physics. Like, I don't like doing math, but I know that math is required for physics. And the fact that everything just kind of does follow this trend and this pattern can always be like mapped out if you really think about it and like really get to down to it. It's just very interesting to me.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. Like, I mean, what you said about kind of stuff on like microscience, to me, that stuff is really cool, but I just can't comprehend it. Like, I need something that's tangible, even if it's just numbers on a screen, something that I can see. So I totally get that. But yeah, like it's cool how everything in the universe is just, if you understand the math, you can pretty much find out anything.
Yeah. And it's also funny because math is also an arbitrary creation, technically, by humanity, right? Like, we just kind of interpreted what happens in the world into this arbitrary understanding of what math is. Like, you know, numbers are arbitrary. That's like, I mean, technically, if you think about it, right? Because like numbers are just assigned values, which are also arbitrary to just how things work. Like 1, 2, 3, right? Like that, those that already exist. Those three things exist. But we assign those three to it, and on a more like complex level, right? Like the equations we have, the calculations, all of that, it all exists in the universe, just naturally occurs. But we assigned meaning to those things and how to calculate them, sort of like consistently get one thing or another. Like essentially, because math to a degree in the physics sense is applying or finding patterns in and applying those patterns to what is happening, which is just, you know, arbitrary still, but it's very interesting. You can just kind of like think that over, I don't know, a few centuries. Science things have that advanced, but
it's kind of crazy, just like the advancements we've made. And that's something I actually always wondered, like numbers and math and the universe. And it seems like two and two go together, but it's like, is it that we created these arbitrary numbers to understand it, or were those numbers and those things always there? And it's just, we happen to understand it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm trying to,
That gets into philosophy, which I didn't actually have room for in high school to take any philosophy courses. My teacher was amazing in that course, apparently.
Philosophy in high school? Shout out to my teacher. I forget her name. But it was it was fun, but to me, philosophy, like, it's very cool to talk about and to think about all the ideas, but when I actually learned about it, it was so boring because it's just like dozens of pages of people talking with no answers.
Yeah, that's kind of what philosophy is, though. It's posing a question and starting discussion from that question. Like, I didn't take the class, so I can't really comment too much on it. I know the theory of philosophy, like the general
consensus of theory of philosophy?
Well, the under, like the consensus of what philosophy is, like just like the posing a question or posing like making a statement that causes or like creates discussion around it. I don't actually know the definition of philosophy. I can't really define it. I'm not.
We can Google it later.
But like just understand what philosophy is, like that kind of what it is, you know. Where was I going with this?
Philosophy, it hurts my brain, especially because there's like it's weird. There's so many different thoughts and people that have these like common philosophies. Yeah. I don't even know. Just like the big names, like Plato, Socrates, Freud, or whatever. But I don't. It's weird.
Freud.
But it's so weird because like these philosophies, is it like? Like some people obviously agree with certain philosophies, right? But I'm kind of wondering, is it more of like, it's just like a biological thing? Like people just, that's just how they grow up and that's what they think? Or is it because they hear these philosophies first and then they follow it? Or do they kind of identify with it beforehand? And then they hear somebody make a formal explanation and then they agree with it.
That gets into psychology as well, and also I think genetics to a certain degree, because like I'm not at all versed in the matter, but with my limited understanding of similar science, like sciences at least, I'd probably wager it's a combination of primarily just your person's upbringing, like surroundings, like what they kind of grew up around, what they have around them, because like that influences kids, right? Kids' brains are, the younger they are, the more malleable, like a sponge they are, the philosophy, like the analogy of it being a sponge.
Yeah.
Kids' brains, like they just soak everything up. That's probably a major component to it, but also it could be like a genetic predisposition sometimes. I honestly don't know. I'm not versed in that kind of in that field.
Me neither. Yeah, officially there's no claim that we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, I am spewing bullshit that I think probably might make sense to my head,
because
I am forced to do a bunch of like biology and chemistry in my program. I've done no physics almost, considering despite my specialization, but like all of that, because I do science a bunch, and I kind of like do research projects and things on related kind of fields sometimes. I'm taking intro psych actually this semester, so I might have I might have slightly more like knowledge on this in 3 months time for all if I pay attention class, because it's my freebie throwaway class. But I am spewing nonsense that I think I might have a general idea of based on context and random facts I read online from like articles I skimmed. So like I could be entirely wrong in my with anything I'm saying. So
semester you can diagnose me with ADHD next semester after your psych.
Of course, yeah.
You can do me a solid.
Yeah, I got you. I will become a licensed professional from my intro psych course that's asynchronous and online.
Oh, wow.
That I will give the insight that you need to diagnose you with whatever ADHD or ADD, or I don't even know what you got. I don't know what you think you got. I can't diagnose you.
I'll be honest. Psychology is awesome. And to me, psychology and all the sciences and science adjacent things, I think they're awesome. But after I took grade 9 science, I said, screw it. And I shut the door on that because it was so complicated for me.
That's fair. Some people just don't have that like predisposition to do science. And that's like it's fault of no one. It's just how, I guess, people's brains work sometimes. Because again, not a neurobiologist. I don't know what I'm talking about. But like, people just, I know it's like kinds of people. Like they don't, some people just can't do science. Like, and that's perfectly fine. Same, because it doesn't sit in their heads. Like for me, I'm trying to think of what doesn't sit in my head, because
for me, I know
like chemistry. Actually, I don't like chemistry. It doesn't sit in my head very well. It doesn't.
Yeah, it's interesting because like for me, business and marketing, that stuff just kind of clicks in my head. That's why I'm in it. Yeah. It just kind of works. But then on the flip side, math, accounting, finance, statistics, I can understand it, but it is absolutely not my strong point. So I think it's so cool to that, you know, people are different, and I think that's so cool. Everyone has strengths, everyone has weaknesses, and I think it's awesome that no two people are really ever the same. Actually, kind of moving on a bit to a bit of a lighter topic.
Yeah, sure. Let's get the philosophy out of the way. My head's starting to hurt.
Well, then this will be great. Video games.
Oh, yes. Lovely.
You and I have been playing video games since we were very young.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, what games are you playing now, if any at all?
That's a tough question to answer because I'm looking at my monitor right now, my second monitor that's on this side. Mm-hmm. And I have a list of, what is it, two rows of, how many? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Like 20, two rows of 20 plus some extra here and there, just like games that I've got downloaded on my PC,
mm-hmm.
of which I've never launched. I think a quarter of them. I've bought them. I bought three more during the Christmas sale just now.
Yeah,
that I plan to play eventually at some point, maybe hopefully.
Yeah,
but I find that if I'm playing anything, I'm playing the same four or five games as anyone does. But recently, honestly, over this break specifically, I've barely played much of anything. I mean, wow. I'll be honest with you. Not because I haven't had the will to, I just have been doing other things. I've been writing for D&D a lot.
Yeah.
And that I have been playing.
I'm excited for a session tomorrow.
Yeah. I can't wait. I had someone run through it, and I think I got all the quirks worked out, and it should be a great time.
Baruch the Angry is going to be angriest.
Baruch the Angry is going to be
crazy. Yeah. Well, so because the reason I asked about video games and what are you playing is because I sometimes get the feeling that video games just don't hit the same, you know?
Yeah.
So I wonder if you experienced that or if you're experiencing that now even.
Yeah, no, that does. I find that I have like sort of spikes of when I play games more than usual, or like more mm-hmm. than other times. Actually, I checked my Steam has this like the new Steam Rewind thing they've really? Done where it shows like, yeah, like what games you played on Steam recently or the entire year, like what month when you played what games, how much you played during whatever else. And unsurprisingly, my Steam playtime hours dropped significantly from one of my most played months to almost none.
Wow.
In October.
Oh.
Which is very, very fitting considering that my semester started in September and I played like a bit of games in the beginning and here and there, but then I actually picked up and I had to stop playing games almost entirely.
Yeah.
So it was down to like 100% of my entire year's playtime was in both those months, October, November, or November, December.
Wow.
And since, October, November, December, those 3 months. But, yeah, I mean, I sort of like have times when I play one game more than others, or just one game entirely. Like, I do play Destiny 2 regularly sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
regrettably.
All the games that I play are awful. Every game that I play is just terrible. If it's online, it's a cardinal sin and it should burn in a fire. That's any online game. Like Brawlhalla, for example, that was something I played in December, apparently, for like an hour or two. I haven't played that game seriously or properly in, oh geez, like 2.5 years, I think. I get on for like a few games every few months. I decided to actually kind of get back into it in December, and I managed to go from, like the rank system goes, like it's the important ones are gold, platinum, and diamond. Like diamond's like mm-hmm. the highest one. It's like top 500, but that's, you know, that's who cares. all nerds. But I went from like middle of gold to almost hitting diamond despite not playing for 2 years. Like back in the day, I was all like semi-professional, I would say. Like,
yeah.
back in the day when the game first came out.
Dude, you were nasty.
I was up there, like at the skill level of the game back then as well. Like I was kind of a semi-pro then, but I kind of retired from properly playing that in like 2017, 2018, and stopped playing the game almost entirely for like, you know, the past 2 years.
Yeah.
I got bored and I thought, like, fuck it, I'll launch it, play a map, play a bit and see how it can go. And I almost did diamonds. So apparently I'm not as washed as I thought I was. But
because I actually wanted to ask, because, you know, as you just said, a few years ago, you were pretty good, to say the least. And I feel like you became a pretty staple name in the community as a whole. You kind of knew people.
Yeah, back when the community wasn't that big, it was like 2017, 2018 even, early 2018, I got most of my, like, I guess, popularity, quote-unquote, because I wasn't exactly like a celebrity. I was like a C-list actor, I guess.
Yeah.
comparisons. Like, people knew me. Most people, I would say, I guess, knew of me.
Yeah.
And I would get recognized every, so the post-game chat back then was actually available to be used to type in with your opponent. Now it's just like emojis you can send, and it's just the worst system ever.
The type-in chat was awesome.
Yeah, so you type in chat, and like I have memories of talking to people who were like, who knew me or knew of me. Like, so like, OMG, is that you? Is that the guy? And I had to talk to them for like an hour, just like in a post-game chat. Just like, yeah, you know, this and that, blah, blah, blah. It was great. Like, obviously there was the toxic people who would be like, oh, easy, GG, fuck you. And then they just like, they're wah, wah, little crybabies. They won, wah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
But I'd have positive experience with it. Like, I'd recognized every dozen games, even less back then. Like, every half dozen at that point. And that was mostly because I was in a lot of community content. Like my buddy Lucian Sword,
shout out,
one of the top YouTubers in the community at the moment. He's like 250k, I think, at this point, subs.
Nice,
somewhere around there. But he was very popular back in the day because he was one of the biggest YouTubers who was playing the game at the time, or who was one of the biggest YouTubers of the game at the time. Mm-hmm. I'd be in his videos fairly frequently, like every few weeks or so. I'd be in a VC. My little 15-year-old squeaker self would be like talking in my high pitched voice. Wait, I don't watch those videos anymore. It's like, it's just awful. Like, I'm like awkward 15-year-old with this 30-year-old man just playing a video game. But people knew me from there. People knew me from other YouTubers, small YouTubers' content as well. Like, yeah. Hotshot Scott, who's kind of retired from the game now, but from his videos, and I would appear in tournaments, and I was one of the leaders, or like top heads at one of the very popular clans at the time. Who, like, it's still active now. The clan is called Lacuna, but it's still, like, back then it was one of the up there, one of the best clans, one of the biggest community clans as well. So people knew me from like that as well. So I was kind of, again, still a celebrity. I recognize mostly from Lucian's videos and stuff.
Right.
People in the post-game chat. But people kind of knew of me around the community. Mm-hmm. Then the game grew and I grew away from the game. Like, I kind of backed away. So, you know, now it's, I don't know if people recognize me because you can't talk in post-game chat. But people know me in, like, servers and stuff most of the time.
That's pretty amazing, actually. It's pretty surreal just to hear that. When you were maybe at the peak, or just in general, what was your most memorable experience from being a part of that community? Maybe even just the first thing that pops into your head.
The first thing that pops in my head, honestly, is the community of the clan that I actually met through that game. Because there was no single event that kind of like was a big thing for me. Like, I recognized it was always nice. Like, oh, hey, you're the guy from the videos. Mm-hmm. I guess the first time that I got recognized was, the first few times were pretty nice. Like, you know, this guy knows me. That's so cool. But I guess the biggest thing, honestly, is I have met a lot of people through that game, whether directly or indirectly, like through other people who played the game, mm-hmm. through my clan, through just being people in the game and all that. I've actually met one of them IRL as well. He lives in Windsor. I've met him IRL. Whoa. Like, we met in the game, and it's people I've sort of met and have sort of befriended, whether online or even like in person with that guy as well. That's kind of what sticks with me more than any individual event or anything that's happened there. I suppose similarly, I think in mid or late 2019, one of the top players in the world who lives in Toronto reached out to me. I don't remember the exact context of it, if I'm being honest, but he reached out to me and said, hey, and I actually need to ask him, I forgot entirely, because like, I think we talked in a Discord server, not in DMs, so I just don't know what he said to me, like, why he reached out to me. I want to ask him. But one of the top players, I think he's 7 power ranked globally, which is like essentially 7th best player in the world at the moment.
That's pretty sick.
Rank, yeah. He reached out to me and said, hey, you live in the Toronto area, right? I've been thinking of starting up these local tournaments for the community. Would you want to help me organize them? And I was like 16, so I was like, yeah, sure, I have time. I'll gladly try that out. What do you need me to do? And so we started this out. It was like, initially it was really small. It was in the basement. It was really scuffed. It was in the basement of this retro game repair shop called Gamerama. Whoa. It was on Eglinton. The basement was like this sort of retro or like gaming meetup place, I guess. It was like $20 or like $10, I think, was just to enter the place, like the basement. Like, it's downtown to an Eglinton, so you have to go, you would go out back. Yep. There was like a stairwell outside that leads to like this basement entrance, and you would go in there, and there's like this sort of low ceiling, kind of somewhat dimly lit basement with like big beams in the middle of the wall, like water club, like there's big beams everywhere. And there's some like small arcade games, there's like a TV and like some couches with a PlayStation set up, and like some PCs here and there. And that's where we hosted our first LAN. There was like a turnout of, I think, a dozen people at most. And we hosted, I think, like four or five tournaments there. Then found another venue that was less basement-y in December. Because again, like it was outside. So we hosted one in December, I think, or in January. And to get to the washroom, even, you have to go out of this like basement, go up the stone stairs outside, like in this back parking lot alley of Eglinton.
Yeah.
And then walk up the stairs and like turn into like the back screen door of this run down repair, like a game repair store to get into the pretty shitty bathroom. But it was like a pretty scuff venue, but it was cheap and it worked out for a startup. And then we went to a different venue and then a different one. And then we haven't hosted much because of COVID, because then COVID hit, we had to kind of stop. But
yeah,
I've met a lot of people through there. I've met, like, again, that the pro, he's a great guy. I've met a bunch of people from the community at these tournaments. First time I met my buddy from Windsor was actually at this tournament. So he came to that tournament for the first time because he had a reason to come up to, again, he's in Windsor, so that's like 4 hours to get to Toronto.
Yeah.
So he came to the tournament and went there. I actually had plans to go to a Renaissance fair in, it's like some British name near London. I forget what the town's called, but, or, I don't
remember. That's pretty sick.
I had plans to go, like him and his girlfriend and one of their friends, but one of them got COVID, so we had to cancel that.
Oof.
But we want to do something else at some point as well. We want to go out, we want to meet up and kind of chill more, because he's a great guy, and I've met him again through this game. So to get back to that initial question, I think the most memorable thing from Brawlhalla for me is the people I've met, because my clanmates are still great people. I don't talk to them that often nowadays, but they're still around. We still talk and like have this sort of online friendship that's been going for 5-6 years at this point.
That's pretty amazing, huh?
It's all that.
I love that. I love how even the strangest games can kind of just bring people together. And honestly, one of my first memories with like the big community was going to the LAN tournament that you hosted or helped organize. If you remember,
I co-organized them. Was that before COVID or after COVID?
That was way before. Yeah, that was maybe 2018, I think.
Probably not 2020, 2019, maybe before 2019. COVID, 2020, something like that. Because we even started hosting
2019. Oh my god, it was that. Yeah.
Because okay, we started hosting in I think it was early 2019, mid 2019. Then so COVID hit like right after. We had one every like month or so, and then we had to shut it all down. And we've had only I think three or four, or no, we've had three since COVID opened back up a little bit more. But we've been planning to start up a new one, but my buddy has been bit quite busy with college himself, so he hasn't had time to organize. But we're working on it, hopefully. But,
Keep me posted. I'd love to. I mean, I don't play Brawlhalla too much myself, but
that's why.
But I'd love to come by, just check it out. Because, I mean, yeah, the one that I went to, it was pretty awesome. Like how I had no expectations really for how kind of official or professional it would look, quote unquote. But yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was really well done. I remember, whoever the guy was, I forget what his name was.
Cole.
He was like, "Oh, you have a nice broadcasting voice. Do you want to like commentate one of the games?" I'm like, "Holy fuck, no!"
I don't know how the game worked. I couldn't cast either. I would stutter like so much.
Dude, I remember on my phone. I think you helped me. You helped me figure out what everything was called, like downsig, upsig, whatever, all that stuff.
Moves that you gotta kind of just know how, like, I haven't played the game, so I don't even know the new weapons, like the exactly which move is which. Some of them are like pretty complicated now, so I don't even know some of the terms for them now. But god, I know the basics of the older weapons, but
that would have been a shit show.
I mean, we had some casters who weren't as experienced in casting or even playing the game as well, but they did all right. You've probably done better than the first guy who did casting for us at that like basement place, because that was one of Cole's buddies, like from high school. His name is Jason too, actually, but he was a shoutcaster who had no, or like very minimal understanding of how the game works. So he would be shouting out random garbage, like, "Oh, he hits him with the down hit, and then he goes crazy," and then he's like yelling, and he's just, because the casters at the venue were essentially, we had four computers, or we had two computers actually. It was in the back of the basement, so there was like this sort of curtain that hides like the back area of the basement. Mm-hmm. That's where the casters would sit. And on that same desk, on the other side of the desk, was the second monitor, where the players would be playing. So these casters are here. They are just yelling their lungs out. And the players are waiting for them to check on the match. It's just, it's awful. And it's just, because they turn the books on the match, and then you just have the casters just yelling. And it was a great fun time, but yeah. I think there was a point during the final match where Cole, who's playing in it, actually my buddy from Windsor and I were mm-hmm. Laughing back of the basement somewhere. We were laughing and being loud. And Cole turns to us and says, "Guys, can you quiet down? We're in finals right now." And he turns back to his game. "Guys, shut up. We're playing. Come on." it was all funny. All fun times. It's all casual, but
yeah.
Those first few lands were pretty scuffed.
it's pretty funny to me because that was my first ever esports anything, esports tournament, whatever. It is I didn't realize how underwhelming it actually is, because whenever I see the ESL, all the CSGO matches, it looks so hype. But it's because it has 50,000 people in the stands. Yeah, lights.
Yeah. It's a whole stadium and stuff. Here it's just a bunch of guys
just looking at their computers, being quiet. Just
playing games. I'm playing games. It's all really chill. They're all introverted.
but I do think it is pretty amazing how relatively accessible games are now, or they have been for a while, that it's just you can just set up a stream, get a couple computers and some people, and you have a stream, you have a tournament right there. And it's just pretty awesome how, I don't know, that's kind of the impact that gaming's had on me, is that it's kind of given me a sense of community, especially when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I wonder for you, how did video games impact your life?
On that specific note, I think I was very quiet and awkward at the beginning of high school, again, mm-hmm. as most people are, of course. Mm-hmm. But I was more of a special case because I just didn't really have any friends in elementary school either. But specifically, my clan from, again, Brawlhalla. And a clan... Remember Soldier Front 2? That
old yes! Clan? Oh my god, yes!
It's gone now because the servers are gone.
What?
So the servers have been gone for a few years now. And even then, near the end of it, it was super pay to win.
I can imagine.
Yeah, but a typical shooter, Call of Duty clone shooter. It was great, but okay. I think I was in a clan, a Toxic Kitty or something
yes.
like that.
Oh my god, yes, that's what you were in. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That was the best clan for a certain kind of wanky mode called Funhouse. Remember Funhouse?
Oh my god, floor. The memories are flushing back.
I was insane at that, and so I joined a clan. It's this game mode, right?
Humble brag.
Both teams, I think it's 4 players, 5 players, on this sort of big cube area, and there's 3 layers of these hexagonal glass panes with these kind of glass walls. So I'm with pistols. The middle has mystery boxes, in Mario Kart, which you can shoot and collect new weapons from. And below these 3 levels of glass are spikes and these sort of jump pads that move around in square patterns. And so there was a clan that frequented those, and the spikes obviously kill you. And the first team to beast left standing, last team being left standing, wins that round. And there's 5 rounds or 10 rounds or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And there's this whole clan that frequents that mode that was called Toxic Kitty. And I love that mode as well. I played that mode a lot, and I was pretty good at it. And my, I was 10 year old brain, I was pretty good at that game. My game mode. So at some point I met who I assume was the leader, which turned to be someone who had a similar name to the clan. And I asked him, hey, can I join the clan? I'm good at the game. And they're oh yeah, sure, come on. So I joined the clan, and that clan had TeamSpeak at the time, because that was back in
my god,
2012 or something, 2014.
TeamSpeak.
They had a TeamSpeak group, which I joined, and me being 10, 12, I was pretty subconscious about talking and being with them in VC, because I'm 10.
Yeah, of course.
Old people, teenagers probably, now that I'm thinking back, but they seemed older to me because I was a kid. But talking with them in clan chat, just in chat, getting to know these people online, as well as that TeamSpeak as well, helped me kind of interact with people more at a time when I didn't have many friends mm-hmm. in elementary school. And then after that, in Brawlhalla, my main clan, Lacuna, as well, and the community as a whole, from Discord and just generally what I got from the Brawlhalla community into Discord, that also helped me sort of develop, I think, social skills that I never managed to develop in elementary school because I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't have any friends.
Yeah.
So I think that helped me kind of come out of my shell a little bit, because somehow, I have no idea how this happened, but when I went to university, like first, like in person last semester, I think there's a, some people say that people come out of their shell in university. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I would. I wasn't trying to, but I am apparently a social butterfly in terms of people. Like,
nice.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened. I didn't really consciously change anything about myself, but I just, I guess, am good with talking to people and meeting new people. Because like my professor for my crime scene class, she loved me. Like she gave me all the credit, all like name dropped me, yeah. She knew my name, all stuff like that. Like,
whoa.
It's a small class, 23 people, but like my entire class, 23 people. It gets awkward sometimes because people will talk to me and I will have no idea if they've been in my class or what their name is. Mm-hmm. But they'll talk to me like, hey Jason, how's this project going? And I'll be like, it's going pretty well. And just you know like that awkward kind of moment where you're talking to someone like, oh yeah, like casually yeah. talking, like you don't know who the hell they are. Just like, yeah you know.
That awkward moment.
Like interaction, which is like, oh yeah, you know, blah, 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 blah. Oh yeah, so I'll see you around, Jason. I'm like, yeah, I'll see you. And you just, like, that's you never crazy. Ask their name, you never know their name. Just like, they're just in your class and you just have no idea who they are. And
no,
that happened
asked.
To me multiple times, yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah, I don't know, university. Or I guess coming out of high school, for me, I kind of had a similar thing where I was just like, okay, I am now apparently an adult. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, kind of only late, like halfway through 2022, that I finally realized like, holy shit, like we're all 19, turning 20. Like we're, as in our like, you know, classes and everything, like we're old, we're adults. We're not the same kids we were. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the pandemic and, you know, basically 2 years just being not really feeling real for me. But it took me a while to catch up and be like, holy crap, like we're getting older.
Yeah. It's, I mean, for me as well, right? Because I live on campus now. I'm pretty sure you commute, right?
Mm-hmm. I commute.
I live on campus now. So, like, I went from living at home all the time, just like during COVID and during, you know, as a kid, like, you know, I was a kid and couldn't live away.
Yeah.
Pardon me. I live on campus now 5 days a week. My parents drop me off at the bus terminal. I grab a bus and I take mm-hmm. it an hour away to middle of nowhere, like Oshawa. Like, that's an hour and a half away on bus. Then I live in this small little apartment with a person I met on my first day at that apartment. And I just live there for 5 days a week, and it doesn't feel weird mm-hmm. in a way. Like it just kind of feels like it's a natural progression. Like it's not. It was a bit homesicky the first few days, of course, but then after that, it was just kind of, yeah, I'm here for the week, and then I go home on Friday night, and it's just
yeah.
Like some of that was probably quite daunting as like when I was younger. It's just kind of this reality that I live in now, and it's just normal.
Yeah. How do you? Oh, sorry.
It's weird. Yeah.
How do you like living alone? I guess with moving out, how has that experience been for you?
Honestly, it was quite boring because my old laptop can't run anything, and you know I do play games a lot, and like I try not to when I'm on campus because I have to, you know, study and do work and stuff and be in that sort of like studying mindset. But right. My old laptop could barely even run much of anything. It's a ThinkPad. It's not a
laptop. Yeah, no gaming capacity really there.
Nothing. Like it could try and run some games. It would be 3 frames on lowest graphics and it didn't do anything. I got a new laptop a little while back. I just opened up. It can actually run things, and it's also like a flip tablet mode touchscreen.
Ooh, hybrid so kind of thing?
Notes. Yeah, hybrid, so I can take notes on it and stuff as well. But when there's nothing going on campus that I want to go to, because, you know, it's campus, right? Things are happening all the time. Right. I don't really care for most of them. I go to, like, the crime scene student, or the Forensic Student Association meetings and, like, club meetings and stuff. They have the once every month or so. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty fun. But other than that, I don't really do many on-campus activities and stuff, so it's just kind of boring, really. Like I'm mm-hmm. sitting in this small room. Like I have my res is my bedroom, a little kitchen area kind of, and then like the bathroom. So in terms of things to do, there's my desk with my computer and stuff, and there's maybe going to the game room by myself with like the play billiards by myself.
Ooh, or a game or room.
There's a game room in the residence. Yeah, so there's nice. Like has 2 billiard tables, I think like mailboxes on the far wall, and there's like a TV with a PlayStation attached to it, which you can play games on.
That's sick.
Yeah, I think my roommate plays billiards, but I'm not. Despite living with the man for 3 months, I barely know him, which is, I think is like a good thing, I guess. Because we don't really interact with each other. We just kind of don't get in each other's way. He's really chill. I'm really chill. We just kind of
just don't interact.
We just don't interact, which is, you know, I'm fine with that. It's not a big deal, but you know, there's not much to do because my only friends, they live nearby. It's a fairly local university. No one's heard of Ontario Tech before. It's like, it's a small university that's just in Oshawa. It's like 20 years old. I think I actually ordered the university itself.
Oh, whoa.
I think it was 2, but I think it was in like July. I think it's the same age as the university, if I'm not mistaken. It's something around there. But I'm older than university, so people don't know it. So it's a fairly local university. Like my two good friends from the university I talk to frequently, one of them lives 5 minutes away. One lives half an hour away by car, which she just drives half an hour away from like the nearby town, like on Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
So me being from almost Toronto, like driving all that distance, I'm commuting to a university that I wouldn't typically have probably found myself in if I went. Like I applied to U of T. I got in. I could have gone to U of T if I wanted to. But I just, their program wasn't as appealing to me, so I decided to go to this one. So like everyone who lives there lives nearby and doesn't really want to bother coming to campus when they don't need to, so to like hang out or do things. So I'm kind of just left hanging out with them if they're on campus between classes or just being by myself to do whatever else I have to do. So
yeah, seems like a pretty quiet experience then.
Yeah, it's a very quiet university as well, since it's not like, you know, it's not Queen's, it's not McMaster, it's not like a party university. It's just kind of really chill. People go there to learn, to my understanding. Like obviously there's party stuff, but it's really quiet overall. The weekends on res kind of sucks because they're like being loud and obnoxious outside or upstairs, but otherwise it's really quiet just all over. It's a small campus, small university, and it's chill.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny considering like it's called Ontario Tech, but it's still not it's not that well known of a school in the province.
Well, I mean, yeah. A lot of universities have names that don't particularly make too much sense, I guess. I mean, like Ontario Tech, yeah, but that's just the name of it. It's Ontario University Institute of Technology is the full name. It's OUIT, but it's called Ontario Tech because it's faster that way. But, I mean, like Ryerson, what did they rename themselves to?
Toronto Metropolitan University.
That's the one.
I thought you were going to call it Ryerson. I'm like, gotta be careful.
No, it's renamed. I don't want to be.
I'm just joshing you.
I don't want to be offensive to you or whoever else. Like, it's just they renamed to like Toronto Metropolitan, which is
TMU.
It's not the only Toronto university.
it's kind of funny, like the fact that, you know, UTM, like University of Toronto Mississauga, it kind of makes TMU sound like it was a misspelt UTM.
Exactly, and like you also have U of T, which is also not too far off. It's just the T or the U.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, it's all, there's basically three Toronto universities.
In Toronto.
I mean, Mississauga isn't really in Toronto, but yeah. You know, they're like named Toronto, but which one's more well-known? You'll definitely not people see talking about UTM too much.
Yeah, that's true.
Was UTM your university, or was that
UTM? UTM is University of Toronto Mississauga. Okay, TMU is Toronto Met.
See, that's the problem with that rename. It's
there
just
lies the confusion.
With UTM. Yeah. So I got a buddy going to UTM as well. So it's just all over the place. But yeah.
It was definitely, there was a period where I had to adapt. Or not to adapt, a learning period, because it's just like from saying Ryerson for 2.5 years to all of a sudden it being, actually at one point our official name, or I guess our unofficial name, was X University.
Just the letter X?
Yeah, that was like our placeholder name. I don't know if it was like an official thing, but that's kind of what all the students called it. And then at one point there were rumors of you know, the school wanting to keep the R from Ryerson, so they were going to rename it to Reconciliation University.
That sounds kind of terrible.
I'm very happy that was a rumor.
Terrible name for a university.
Yeah, but thankfully they chose a great name.
Oh yeah, you know, UTM rhymes with TMU, you know, UTM just...
It's just I don't know, I think it's just an unfortunate thing.
Yeah, no, but of course, but you know, it'd be
the game's the game.
It'd be how it do.
Now, as we kind of near the end of this episode, one thing I like to spring onto my guests, and I'll spring it onto you, is I flip the tables, I turn them over, and I ask you, do you have any questions for me of anything we've talked about or beyond?
Are there any particular questions? Oh, my phone is going off. Where even is that? Oh, it's up there. It's my camera. I was like, where is it? I'm around my desk. I just don't see it. It's just right in front of me. Anyway. What's going on again? No particular questions to you, but I mentioned in our DMs before we got here that you also mentioned it yourself that the Longest Johns were streaming with the Q&A.
Yes.
And I was actually in that stream. I don't know if you caught up with it since you got home, but if you would like to, I guess, sort of hear about what they said there, and maybe to talk about, it's like we participated in that community project.
Yeah. Tell me.
So that's coming out on Wednesday next week.
Next week.
It's coming out on Wednesday next week, and that same day, Jesus Christ! Even like yesterday, I was just like constantly my DMs are blowing up, if you will, you know, on Discord too. What is happening?
People know you're in the community song. That's all it is.
Yeah, I guess. But so Wednesday is when it's coming out, and that same Wednesday they will be releasing the new videos for the next one. You want to know what song is the next one?
Can I guess? Okay, let me get three guesses. Okay, the first guess, Moby Duck.
Sadly, no.
Oh, okay. Number two, it's obviously one of their songs. Number two.
One of the songs that they have officially released and sung.
Okay. I'm going to say Oak and Ash and Thorn.
Unfortunately, no again. Not yet. I don't think so.
Last guess. Mm-hmm. Hammer and the Anvil.
No.
Damn. Okay.
No.
Give it to me.
But I think you like this one as well. What is the exact name? I forgot the exact name. Right. Here's health to the company.
Huh? Say it again?
Health to a company.
You cut out one more time.
Health to the company.
Health to the company. I have never heard them sing that song
health
before.
Health to the company and one to my last. You know that one?
Nope, but I'm going to be listening to it.
Sad. It's a really lovely song. It's a classic classic shanty.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite lovely. And if you want to do it again with me as well, I'd be happy to.
Hell yeah.
Do that. And maybe even again in 6 months, because they announced, JD, the lovely host of that stream from the band, announced that they'll be doing one every 6 months now.
Jeez.
They want to try and do one every two every year. So one in December, January, kind of like that area, and one in June.
I guess people liked it.
Yeah, people loved it. And so that was just like one of the biggest announcements there, because I had a blast doing that with you and just doing it like as well. So I'm really excited to see that come out on Wednesday and do it again, hopefully, once I'm at home, I suppose, during the coming weeks.
But, let's do it. Well, when that time comes around, I guess for this next one, just let me know, because I'll be working, so I'm home every day.
Actually, on that note, I want to ask you questions. Your work, you kind of mentioned that you'll be doing, did you get any more information on that yet, or are you still just like in the dark about what you're going to be doing at the government?
I am currently starting the onboarding process. I have just received my devices, my computer, which was loaned for the duration of my term. So that's really cool. I got a monitor, which is pretty crazy.
Cool.
So it's really nice. They actually kind of gave me everything I need to get started. So it's pretty cool that they kind of don't expect you to have a computer right away.
Yeah.
So
the onboarding, what are you going to be doing with that?
I wish I had a better explanation. I know my manager told me, I just can't recall, but it's going to be marketing communication. So, I mean, it can range from simply typing up reports to making graphics, photography, videography. It could be a whole bunch of stuff. I'm very excited to see what kind of marketing the government does, because I've So I was not really ever pay too much attention.
I was going to ask that next, actually, because I've seen, like, occasionally, I guess, ads for, like, just, like, don't smoke or other things. Exactly, like the whole Ontario jingle. But I've seen, like, I have seen posters of things of that outside and, you know, like, on websites sometimes. Pardon me. But I was actually curious about what the government does do with marketing. And, like, if you don't even know what you're doing yet, that is a shame, because that is actually interesting about what they do. Because the government obviously has to marketing. But...
Yeah, I mean, I'll let you know as soon as I get started with whatever I can say. I don't know how.
Do you have any NDAs? Can you
sign? I don't have any NDAs.
I don't want to, like, breach that with you. You know, just like on this podcast, you just, like, breach this information publicly. It'd be a breach of anything.
But you know, I'm super excited. It should be a very fun 4 months, and I'll let you know off the podcast or on it next time if you'd like to come back. Wink.
I'd be happy to come back.
Hell yeah. But yeah, that's about all I have. I don't know if you have any last comments you want to make on the air.
No, not particularly.
Fantastic. Well, Jason, thank you so much for taking an hour out of your Wednesday evening. To everyone who's listening, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and I'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
See ya.